Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Did you ever see Mark McGwire play in person?
I did.
And this was his walk-up music.
Well, I only saw him in Texas, so.
Oh, all right. They didn't play it for him there.
No, they didn't. No. They played like a little Mickey Mouse song.
There are certain players in the history of Major League Baseball that just have the best walk-up music. And, you know, having Welcome to the Jungle for Mark McGwire, as soon as that first lick, ding-a-ding-a-ding, and everybody, yeah! You know, because they knew that it was coming and. Opposing pitchers would be terrified, you know, and rightly so. Hell's bells for Trevor Hoffman in San Diego when he was the closer.
Oh, nice.
Oh, no.
Nice.
And you wouldn't think necessarily of scary music for a closer. You would for Trevor Hoffman when he was at his peak. I mean,
exactly.
He was ridiculous. So, anyway, you got me all distracted on that now. Which is fine. I don't mind. I kind of like it. 437-1620, 437-1620. It's my phone number. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. We have spent 3 days in a row, I realized. I knew it was two, but 3 days in a row talking about things related to freedom, the First Amendment, censorship, the impulse to control other people. I'm going to do my very best to not talk about that today. We're going to try to get a day in where we talk about nothing, all kinds of other stuff. I mean, it matters.
What?
I could do a whole nother day on all of this, but we're not going to. More tomorrow, maybe. We'll kind of see how the day goes. What do we got going on? Oh, Baptist, okay. They put it on the agenda. We talked to Wes Moreno about this. They put it on the agenda. Didn't even call it the Baptist topic. It was the revitalization of the geographic area between D Street and F Street and Moreno Street. And it's funny. I was talking to Wes before I got him on the air yesterday, and I said, I don't see Baptist on the agenda. He's like, well, you know, we're calling it this. And I'm like, oh, because I had seen that on the agenda and ignored it. I thought, what is that? And now I look back and think, oh, well, I should have known that's where that was. But just, you know, we're going to call it something else entirely and nobody will even know what it is. And so because they're using totally different money and whatever. So they had their meeting yesterday. They passed it. Whatever. It's fine. That's not that important. The mayor, meanwhile, had his press conference yesterday and talked about the future of Baptist Hospital and, you know, what's the plan, right? What's the plan if the county doesn't do much or only does what they're talking about?
I'm going to take the poison pill. This is not going to be the poison pill approach. We're not going to all stare at empty buildings for a decade and a half and say, well, I can't believe so-and-so didn't put in 100,000 or this. I mean, I'm not going to treat our citizens that way. And I know Commissioner May is on board with that. We've got to do something. So we're not going to hardball and pretend like, well, I don't know if we're going to do this. We've come a long way. Senator Broxson was integral in helping this project come a long way. The state has put up funding. The city has put up funding. We have grant funding to go. Baptist has put up $6 million and 38 acres of property. And I think that gets lost sometimes is that becomes our leverage point to create housing affordability that we all agree is a crisis. So I'm just not a poison pill approach guy. I'm not going to say, well, let's stare at these buildings until someone else does something.
Yeah, and which is another way of saying, look, we're going to do it. You know, whatever they do, we're going to do it. But it'd be nice to have a partner in all of this.
I've heard lots of ideas about what should happen or what people believe should happen. Some make sense. Maybe some are a little, you know, out there in terms of the Baptist campus. But I have not had anybody yet say, I think the best thing for the community is leave all the buildings there for years at a time. So if we can start on that common ground that it's best for this city for those buildings to go away and for us to think big about what's going to happen, we're going to start with that.
Yeah, and actually in the Pensacola City Council meeting on Thursday, he had made comments that were sort of along these lines, of course, before they knew for sure what the county was going to do or even likely. But the basic idea is, look, having it sit there is not really an option. We all know that. But at some point, somebody's got to say, well, it may not be my fault, it may not be my responsibility, but I have an opportunity to do something. Let's not let this become like every other abandoned medical facility in the history of cities. Let's just not look at it that way and understand that they could just leave it there, undemolished, undeveloped, becoming more and more blighted all the time. It could look like the one on North Palafox, and it does look pretty bad already. Whether they did the, you know, code, keep it up to code or not, they could just pay the fines, or they could pay to keep it up to code. And I mean, you know, just there's nothing you can do. It's private property.
What gets lost, I believe, in this is public-private partnerships. There are hospitals in Birmingham and in New Orleans that have sat for 15 and 20 years. So it's easy to forget and say, well, what if, and what with this property, what's going to happen? When is it going to happen? Well, inaction can guarantee what's going to happen, which is we're going to have empty buildings there, of which Baptist or hospital in Birmingham or hospitals in New Orleans have no obligation other than to meet code, which is about a couple $100,000 a year.
Right.
They have no legal obligation to do anything other than leave the buildings there and making sure that they conform to code.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe the county commissioners don't get invited to the ribbon cutting. Or they only get invited to the ribbon cutting related to the one little slice that they're going to participate in. You know, whatever. We'll have to see how that all plays out. Of course, we'll talk with the mayor today about all of this. What else do we have going on? 437-1620. Oh, I'm trying it. I'm open carrying today.
Yeah, I noticed. I was like, oh, look at Andrew this morning.
Remember what did I say? I said I wanted to give it a week. Wanted to give it a week. And then, you know, because that gives people a chance to hear the news, read the news, see the news. You know, gives them a week to scroll the news, whatever. Is that how we should say it now? They hear scroll it from me, they news. Watch it from Bob and Tanner, and they read it from, you know, the folks at the PNJ. And then they scroll it from everybody else. I like kind of scroll the news.
Yeah,
you know, all
I
right.
like that.
And I'm not a fan.
What?
I mean, I'm like 20 minutes into this, and I'm already like, here are the problems. Problem number one, okay, so my Glock 17 is bigger than the Glock 43, right? It carries 17 rounds instead of 6, okay? So it's bigger. It's a full-size gun. That means it's in the way. Like, I get in my car, and it's in the way. And, you know, I got to kind of move it around to sit properly, and inside the waistband is not in the way. I carry my, my man purse, my satchel, my, what would you call that?
A man purse.
Yeah, my big, okay. I don't carry a backpack. That. I have a, you know, over the shoulder, you know,
yeah,
bag.
It's a man purse.
Okay. And I'm right-handed, so gun's on the right hip, bag's on the right shoulder. Well, now they're fighting with each other, you know, and the bag got like hung up on the gun because it's not used to the gun being there. And I got to kind of, well, do I carry it on my left shoulder now? That's inconvenient. And this is the dumbest one of all. But this is, you know, sometimes you have to do a thing before you discover stuff. And I discovered that I keep my cell phone in my right pocket. And it's kind of a pain right now, you know, to work around the gun and into the pocket. And that's just not an issue when it's inside the waistband because it's inside and the phone is outside. So, yeah. And then I'm thinking about things like, you know, Bob Johnson, he doesn't make a terrible point when he says that if you go somewhere and you're wearing it inside, and I have a jersey on today, so it's very easy. If I were to go somewhere today and somebody said, sir, you know, we don't allow that here. Oh, okay. Well, I just move the jersey on the outside of it. It's very easy to fix, right? Of course, I wonder if they'd be like, that's not adequate, sir. All right, I'll go to the car. I'll pretend to do some stuff, and then I'll come back. You know, like, it'll just be concealed. But, you know, Bob says, look, I don't want people, I don't, you know, if I am a civilian, it's kind of nice if the bad guy doesn't know I'm armed. I have the advantage of information over him. Now, the other side would say, the pro open carry side, the side I've always kind of been on, is it's deterrence. You know, if you're in an area where you know there's cops, you see guns, you stay away. You don't do bad stuff. You're in an area where you see civilians with guns, you stay away. You don't do bad stuff. You know, that's, oh, you know, when everybody's concealing, nobody knows for sure who's there, right? So I've always thought of it as a sort of a public service in the same way that just having one is a public service. If something goes wrong, you can help. Maybe now you can actually discourage something wrong from happening. But I'll tell you, I'm just, you know, so far in the early 20 minutes of the 17th of September, having never open carried before because I just never did when we lived in Oregon and Arizona. I mean, I just never cared.
I still can't believe you didn't do it in Phoenix.
Yeah.
I've been to Phoenix several times, and I'm like, oh.
I can't really tell you why either. I mean, there's no reason why, because, I mean, there are definitely places in Phoenix where you would prefer to have a gun.
Especially by GCU.
Oh, yeah. Downtown in some parts and the southwest part of the city, for sure. But I just never did. And I think, you know, actually, it took a long time for me to become a regular concealed carry person. You know, I went through the Pensacola Police Department Citizen Academy because I knew Tommy when he was police chief from LEAP. Well, he was assistant at the time from LEAP. Chip was still the chief. And he did a class for all of us where we were able to get our permits. So we got our permit. And then it was, well, now I guess I got to buy a holster, you know, because, right? Actually, no. Now I got to buy a gun because the big one, I wasn't going to conceal that. So I bought a small one. And I got to buy a holster. The holster is inconvenient. Nothing fits. It's not, you know, what a pain, you know? And it was. And then, you know, enough things happen in the world and you start to think, I probably ought to do this all the time. Fine. You know, and then just get in the habit.
Right.
But it did. It took years, several years of kind of progression for me to get in the habit of carrying all the time. And then you got to make sure, but you're not carrying at your kid's school and you're not carrying at UWF and you're not taking one to the Navy base, right? And you didn't go to a bar with it. And, you know, like all the stuff you have to not do, which is stupid. And so there was this whole process. And so I think that none of that process had happened when I was in Oregon or Phoenix. So, I mean, that's the only, I don't have an explanation other than that. I do remember there was one time where we were in Phoenix and we were driving and there was a horrible crash. This is actually a very involved story. I don't want to tell all of it, but we had a gas tanker. It lost his brakes in the mountains going to a retreat, and he was behind me. We passed him. He lost his brakes, and I could tell because there was smoke coming out from the sides where it shouldn't be, and he was going real fast all of a sudden in my rearview mirror. And he started weaving, like, to get my attention.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I get over. He right past. And this is going down to a very dangerous curve in the mountains. And he did not make the curve. And he crashed. It exploded. It killed the driver. I am to this day convinced that guy saved my life, my family's life, because he could have abandoned. When it was starting to lose control, he could have jumped out, and he didn't. Anyway, so there was like a two-hour, three-hour backup of traffic. We were at the very front. When I stopped and ran up there to see if I could do anything, there was nothing. I mean, it was over. It was instantly he was killed. But then it was a question of, you know, people were angry and people were frustrated because they didn't know what had happened. And I had a gun at the time because you travel with a gun. And I remember, you know, just having one, people were like, you know, are you a cop? No. It's Arizona.
Right.
You know, but in a situation like this, tempers flare. It's better to, you know, let's tamper that down. So anyway, that's a long way of getting back to the point I was making, which is I'm not in love with it yet, but you open carry in Texas.
Oh, yeah. And I loved it. Oh, I loved it in Texas.
Well, I mean, it's okay to love your open carry. It's not okay to love your open
carry. No, I loved my open carry in Texas, buddy.
4-3-7-16.
I mean, when 20. You see people with these long revolvers.
Oh my God! Yeah, hold, sir, while I draw my 8-inch barrel.
I know.
And well, and it's kind of fun too because you like
ivory plated handle. I mean, it was just.
And you know, different holsters have different issues. Yeah. I actually have an exterior holster for my 43, but it's got a very difficult to operate trigger guard lock. I'd have to bring it in and show it to you.
Yeah, because,
like, when you insert it all the way in, there's a device to keep it from being able to be withdrawn. You know how the police have their little toggle, basically, on theirs? It's sort of like that, but it's really hard to operate. You'd have to operate it with your opposite hand almost while you're drawing your gun, so I don't really love that as useful.
Yeah, bring it in.
I'll show you. Anyway.
Yeah. Sorry.
But this one's, you know, much easier. Anyway, so, yeah. And just kind of getting used to stuff today. Somebody says, Andrew Gunslinger McKay. No, I hope not. I'm not twirling it or anything, you know?
Not yet.
Somebody says, so this means you're firing off the news to us? Don't get triggered. All right. anyway.
Oh my goodness!
And I still cannot believe that Chip yesterday said that they don't have any reports of anybody carrying. I haven't seen anybody carrying. As far as I know, I'm the first person I've seen carrying.
Oh no, not in Santa Rosa County. Yeah, I've seen it.
Have you?
Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
In Santa Rosa County, though.
Bunch of wussy liberals in Escambia County.
I didn't say a word.
Hey, look, the counties are different, you know? And, you know, north of I-10 and south of I-10 is different. And, you know, Warrington is different. Anyway, 525 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Saturday, September 27th, come to the grand opening land sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50 acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. That's right, get 20 to 50 acres in Baldwin County from just $139.9 with excellent financing available. Ranches at Creekside Preserve features private large acreage tracts with beautiful woodlands, rolling meadows, and a peaceful creek, all surrounded by pristine natural beauty and abundant wildlife. It's your opportunity to live in Baldwin County, Alabama, one of the fastest growing coastal counties in the U.S. due to low taxes and a low cost of living. Don't miss out. Come to the grand opening land sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50 acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. Call 877-888-1415 or go to creeksidepreserveal.com. That's creeksidepreserveal.com.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You know, if you tell a joke and it stinks, but you put a laugh track over it, the joke still stinks.
I feel like that was corrected.
I'm not saying a word, sir.
I feel like maybe that was hurtful. 528, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump and First Lady Melania today attending a banquet hosted by King Charles at Windsor Castle. That visit includes a carriage procession with King Charles, Queen Camilla, and the Prince and Princess of Wales, as well as a wreath laying at the tomb of Queen Elizabeth II. And the grand state banquet tonight featuring speeches from both President Trump and King Charles.
Hey, by the way, they're making a big deal about this being the first time anybody has had a second state visit. But the first one was the first term with Queen Elizabeth, right?
So it's not that weird.
It's just you have a new monarch. They're going to meet people. And also Trump's got the advantage of separation in time from his first. So whereas other world leaders have not held terms so long. So I mean, I'm not saying it's not historic. I'm just saying it's, you know, there are sort of obvious reasons why it seems to me. Anyway, go ahead, sir. John, you're nodding your head like all that makes sense.
Oh, yes, okay. It does. Yeah. Total.
FBI Director Kash Patel saying there's no proof that Jeffrey Epstein trafficked women to anyone other than himself. During a hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday, Patel said authorities have released all of the information that Epstein on Epstein that they have deemed credible. And police in officials in Minneapolis, that is, have cleared a large homeless encampment after a drug-related shooting left 8 people injured on Monday. The encampment was home to about 75 people. It was shut down for safety. Residents had said they wished they had a little bit more time to gather their belongings.
All right, David.
Cleared out.
Thanks so much for the update. 5:30 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, I feel bad for laughing at this. There are some people who are having a really rough day.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the Publishers Clearing House declared bankruptcy.
No.
And they have people who were expecting to get lifelong winning payments.
I was waiting for them to knock on my door.
And they're not. No, they're not even giving that out anymore, but they're not going to pay the people that won. So there's, you know, one guy's like, I was just waiting for my $250,000 annual check and I didn't get it. Now you know why.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The words from an alleged assassin,
Tyler James Robinson.
He appeared virtually for his first day in court for the killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk.
He was wearing a special suicide prevention vest, and he showed no emotion as the judge read off the charges against him. These are the charges he's facing, the most significant of which is aggravated murder. And the Utah County District Attorney says he will be seeking the death penalty in this case.
Fox's Garrett Tendy this morning in Spanish Fork, Utah. President Trump, the First Lady Melania arrived shortly at Windsor Castle. It's part of their second state visit to Great Britain. They will be greeted by King Charles and Queen Camilla. Wall Street bracing for this afternoon the decision on interest rates in the Federal Reserve. Most experts believe the central bank will cut the rate by at least a quarter of a point. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 63 right now. We've got clear skies here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Well, a proposal to rename North 65th Avenue in Myrtle Grove after Charlie Kirk was dropped after discussions during yesterday's Board of County Commissioners meeting. The proposal was initially suggested by District 2 Commissioner Mike Kohler, but there was some backlash from citizens and fellow commissioners as well. He decided not to pursue that. Many attendees voiced strong objections. A poll from our news partners over at Channel 3 showed that about 65% of their respondents opposed the name change. Now, law enforcement officers still getting used to that new law of the state on carrying firearms locally. Pensacola Police, the Santa Rosa, and Escambia Sheriff's Offices all changing their policies regarding open carry. But Sheriff Chip Simmons says there's a few important things you should know.
Open carry does not affect the other laws prohibiting brandishing, waving in a threatening manner, or that sort of thing.
Very good.
So that's what these are some of the things that we want to make sure everyone understands. Just because you can carry, I think, A, you need to be familiar with your gun and your holster, mm-hmm. You know, and because I'll be honest, we get reports of people getting shot, and we know they shot themselves many times a year.
And Simmons says it's important to be familiar with your weapon and your equipment, like your holster, and also, if he says folks that are carrying a gun need to know private businesses can still restrict open carry on their property. Well, there's some signs of progress for Florida State University football player that's recovering from a shooting. FSU head coach Mike Norvell with an update on linebacker Ethan Pritchard yesterday. Pritchard was shot in the head last month in Gadsden County and is still in a hospital in Tallahassee. But Norvell says he opened his eyes on Sunday. Norvell said Pritchard's family is with him and supporting him in his fight. Well, Disney's got a new special for Florida residents, a 3-day ticket package going on sale yesterday. With that package, you can visit Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom for $210 plus tax. The tickets cannot be used at the Magic Kingdom, though, and you have to use them between October 5th and December 23rd, but not on consecutive days. You do have to make a reservation in advance and show proof of residency. 5:34 News Radio 92.3. It's looking like a beautiful morning. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We do.
do have a beautiful day in store for you today. Plenty of sunshine, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Thursday, nice sunny weather, high near 89. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. For Friday, plenty of sunshine, high near 89. And by Friday night, temperatures dropping near 71. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
We've got 64 degrees. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors today will watch for any policy dissents from Fed policymakers after two such disagreements at the last meeting in July. The CME Fed Watch tool has priced in a 96% chance that the Fed will cut rates by 25 basis points and just 4% odds that the market will get a half point reduction. CNBC reports President Trump has extended the deadline for ByteDance to divest TikTok's U.S. business, which will be owned by an investor consortium that includes Oracle and Silver Lake. The Wall Street Journal reported that under the framework deal, about 80% of TikTok's U.S. business would be owned by those investors. Microsoft said it is investing $30 billion in the U.K. between 2025 and 2028, including $15.5 billion in additional capital commitments. Other tech companies, including NVIDIA, Google, and OpenAI are also ramping up their AI investments in the UK as President Trump embarks on his state visit this week. Futures are mixed ahead of the Fed's interest rate decision later this afternoon. That's Your Money Now.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app.
Then tap the app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games
Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see?
Good morning, 5:38 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and yesterday we had in studio with us Sheriff Chip Simmons, the Escambia County Sheriff.
Well, I guess I like that.
What, the Chip Simmons. You know, one of the most popular people in our area. I don't, you know, I get all kinds of. Oh, thank you for
good
having
morning,
the sheriff
Andrew,
on. He's
how
the
are
best.
You?
No, I'm doing great. Welcome back, Chip. Good to have you.
Yeah, good to be here.
All right. We have a lot of stuff. Well, we have a lot of stuff to get to. I think the biggest thing on everybody's minds is obviously the open carry change since last week. You and I have been communicating quite a bit about this, and my main goal was to make sure to tell everybody what was actually being enforced, because I don't want them to run afoul of the law and of you guys. We now have James Uthmeyer just yesterday clarified. He must have been listening to the morning show. I said, you know, you need to come out with guidance. You should have already. You were derelict in your duty. But, you know, he did come out and say, hey, it's open carry for the entire state. At least we have that clarified since yesterday. So that's good. But what did you guys made some decisions? There was a lot of there was some flux in the beginning trying to adapt to this. I assume you were surprised by the decision.
Well, I was not necessarily surprised by the decision. I was surprised at when they chose to put it out and kind of catching some people off guard.
Happy Wednesday.
District Court of Appeals, they don't care.
That's right.
And it left some holes in some of the other statutes that we're having to fill now to interpret. But basically, we are an open carry state. I tell you what, I was surprised that we were one of only, I think, five states that didn't have open carry in some capacity.
Yeah.
And now we are most definitely open carry.
I thought the list was funny that California, Illinois, New York, and us.
Yeah. One of these are not like the other.
That's right.
But no, we're joining the ranks now. We're open carry. From a law enforcement perspective, when we first got the ruling, and the governor made a statement that he wasn't going to appeal, the attorney general wasn't going to appeal the ruling, that was it. I mean, I know there's a buffer time period where the state could have appealed. Since they decided they weren't going to, we went ahead and told our deputies, stop enforcing this open carry statute. I'll be honest, I don't know the last time we've made an arrest for open carry because people just didn't do it.
Right.
Or we just didn't arrest. If you did it on your property, we obviously weren't going to arrest. If you did it in your own business, we weren't going to arrest. If you did it in self-defense, we weren't going to arrest. So I don't know that we have any. Even the case that this McDaniel case is a city of Pensacola case. So
right.
We just haven't had many cases. But bottom line is we're an open carry state with some exceptions. Even the court ruling, if you dig into it, said that there can still be reasonable exceptions.
Right.
Schools, courthouses, police departments, meetings of the governing body, and that sort of thing.
You heard me talking about this, I know, and when I read the law, it looks to me like the law is not clear on some of those places, but what I have seen every law enforcement agency say is do not carry at a courthouse, at a polling place, at a legislative meeting, at a school, at a college campus. Right. And I, of course, agree with that, but I think the legislature does have some tune-up work to be done here.
Right. As I mentioned earlier, maybe we can fill some gaps. So what's taking place now, and even in the Attorney General's opinion, guidance, if you will, was that they still believe that the concealed carry, it doesn't affect a concealed carry statute.
Sure.
And
that's
within
all
the concealed
the
carry statute does have some prohibitions on where to carry firearms. And many of those are common sense. But there's a lot of questions that come to the sheriff's office on government buildings and government property and parks and all that sort of thing. We are an open carry state. You can carry unless it's prohibited or unless it's private property. If you own private property, you can dictate who comes to your house, who comes to your business, and whether or not you wish them to carry openly.
If the store has a sign, or if you're open carrying in the grocery store and they tell you to leave, you have to leave.
You have to leave, right, yeah. Or they'll call us and then we'll make you leave.
Because it's a trespassing. It's not a gun violation. It's a trespassing issue.
It's not. And we'll get into the fact that, you know, you keep it holstered and you're probably okay.
Yeah.
And then if you start brandishing it,
we'll talk about that.
There are some places that we believe a statute, 790, I think 06, or I can't recall exactly the statute, but there are 15 places where you cannot carry a firearm, a place where it's prohibited by federal law,
primary schools,
and
alcohol is the primary source of revenue.
Yeah, right. Over 50% of your sales. So these are common sense things. So we're going to enforce those because there is a statute that it falls under the concealed carry, but it is a statute, and so we're going to continue to follow those. But what I'm saying is, anywhere else, any other public area, you can open carry. Now, again, be wise about
this. And by the way,
that's
pistols, handguns, and also rifle shotguns.
I don't see any differentiation between a firearm is a firearm to me.
And 18, 19, 20-year-olds, too, because
I believe so, yes.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Well, the issue there is that the concealed carry statute that I was referring to that remains intact, you have to be 21, I believe.
Right.
But the open carry, but it doesn't address long guns and that. So as we're looking through this thing, is it okay for 18-year-olds to carry long guns but not handguns concealed? I think 18-year-olds can carry openly handguns or rifles.
Okay, that's what you're enforcing right now.
That's what we're enforcing.
And it's my understanding we'll talk to
enforcing meaning we're not
you're allowing
we're just not doing anything with it.
Which it's kind of a weird one too, because how would you enforce against a 19-year-old versus a 21-year-old? It's very hard to know. Probable cause becomes a question. How do you know their age? As I understand it, PPD is not in agreement on the 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. But I'll talk with them on Thursday about this. Okay.
To me, you're an open carry. You're not an open carry.
Yeah.
And if you're 18 and we can send you to war, you should have the same rights. And because there is my in-house attorney, Deborah Little, was at a conference and she's been on a lot of phone calls and they're like 50-50. Some believe this, some believe that. So it's going to be determined based upon what we choose to enforce. And what I choose to fall back on is that we are an open carry state.
Yeah.
Period.
18 and up, non-felons.
Right.
Who are legally able to possess a gun, can carry openly, don't carry it to a school or a bar or, you know, the places that you weren't able to carry it to before. Right. One question that has come up is what about in your car? Because the car rules are weird. It's a special space. And even I think Sheriff Johnson and you have different interpretations to some degree of what you were allowed to do before. Can you now currently, you could definitely have it on your hip in your car openly. Can you have it sitting next to you on the seat or in the sidewall right now legally, since you're not personally carrying, but it is in your conveyance?
I believe you could. I mean, again, as we talked about this a couple months ago, and we did have a little bit of a difference of opinion, because I believe you can carry concealed in your car. I can do whatever you want to, as long as you're not pointing a gun at someone or brandishing it or threatening someone from your car. I think you can do what you want to in your car. I think you can carry how you want to in your car.
So you're not. That's also as something you're not enforcing
that,
against.
Right,
okay,
that's correct. That's the guidance that we're giving my deputies.
When you're on your property, this is more kind of not relevant to the open carry, but it's a question that has come up, and it's been on my list for like 3 weeks. And I haven't answered it. Can you brandish? Well, can you brandish in public?
No.
So you cannot draw it, wave it, use it. And if you point it at somebody, brandishing is a
misdemeanor.
And right. Pointing it at somebody who is not a threat to you, who you don't have reasonable fear of,
is a felony. That's aggravated assault.
So those rules are still
you
intact.
Have to be very, yeah, right. In fact, I think the Attorney General even addressed that this open carry does not affect the other laws prohibiting brandishing, waving in a threatening manner, or that sort of thing.
Very good.
So that's what these are some of the things that we want to make sure everyone understands. Just because you can carry, I think, A, you need to be familiar with your gun and your holster, you know, and because I'll be honest, we get reports of people getting shot, and we know they shot themselves many times a year.
Very
many
common.
Times. We must have 20 of them a year. And we get there, we realize
no. Those were always an unknown assailant who came at me as a surprise for reasons I can't possibly explain.
A group of people that are yeah, you know, a short, tall guy with light, dark hair that did this.
Who shot me with his left-handed, right-handed weapon? Right,
exactly.
Right.
Shot me in the pinky toe. I don't know how he got to it. I don't know how it happened from the top. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. But my point is, we want to encourage people to be very familiar. Mm-hmm. Just because you can doesn't mean you know what we're recommending you do it in a prudent manner. And understand that not everyone's going to let you or want you to be open carry in their establishment. So you may want to, so you may be able to put your guns on, get in your car, and then take them off. And here's the visual I don't necessarily like, where you get to a store and you're in a parking lot and you know that store doesn't want you to have open carry, conceivably, right?
Yeah.
So you get out, you stand up, you take your holster off, take your guns off, and put them in your car.
Here, thief.
Everyone's watching
you.
Come on,
baby.
And then you close your door, and even if you lock it, you got guns in there. So I'd you know, have some awareness about you with regards to that, but also understand that you no longer have the element of surprise. So everyone knows that you have a gun, and they may either, someone's going to do harm to a group or a person. They may try to take you out first. Or they may try to take your weapon from you, sneak up and take your weapon, or they may just think they can overpower you. These are just some of the considerations. Now, on the other side of it, there's this deterrent effect of it that I'm probably not going to go into this particular business because I know three or four of those people are not only have their weapons, but they have their weapons readily available and they seem willing to use them.
Here's a question on a text I don't know the answer to because I don't remember what the rules are regarding parks and beaches, but can you carry on the beach?
I think the beach is a public place, and I think you can open carry in the state of Florida in a public place.
Okay.
Unless the legislature comes out and says that tourist areas or whatever are exempt from it, I don't see any exemption from being on the beach carrying a weapon.
The question I was going to get at, and I just kind of only got halfway there, is if you're on your own property and somebody is, you want them to leave, you could call for trespassing, but you just haven't called yet or whatever. Can you brandish a gun, not point at them, but, you know, hold it in your hands menacingly, let's say, and say, get off my property? I'm trying to give you my answer first, and then you tell me if I'm wrong. I would say no, because they don't represent a threat, and you cannot use the gun, therefore you cannot brandish the gun. You can only brandish when you'd be justified in using.
That's correct. Brandishing is a misdemeanor.
Even on your own property.
But we would look at reasonableness. Is it reasonable to think that you were a threat at that period of time? The bottom line is keep the weapon holstered unless you feel threatened. It's really that simple.
Got it.
So if you pull the weapon out, then the threshold becomes a little steeper for you to defend your actions.
How many calls have you guys gotten, or how many cases have your deputies seen of people open carrying in the last week?
Zero.
What?
None that I'm aware of. I spoke over the weekend. I was at the office and I spoke to one of our lieutenants. Do we have any calls? Have we had any calls? And at that time, they had zero. Now, I don't have the information from yesterday. Mostly, we're getting calls like this. But remember, we're one of only five states that did not have open carry. So this is not new to the country. It's certainly new to the state of Florida. It's certainly new to me. And it's something that we're going to have to get used to as an agency.
Wow. I haven't seen. I've been looking. I've been trying to see. And I have not been yet because I thought I'm going to give it a week. My plan is to start open carrying on Wednesday. That's a week. You know, that's enough time. But I figured, just be a little patient with people. But I was curious. That surprises me that you guys haven't had any calls, had any reports, maybe that's why we haven't had very much crime in the last week.
I happen to think our deputies, who have been open carrying for some time, since 1821, we've been doing a positive effect on that.
That's good. Somebody asked, is concealed weapons permit still needed? And the answer is no, unless you want to avoid the 3-day waiting period.
Right. Yeah, that's correct.
Or reciprocity in other states.
That's correct. The permit hasn't been needed since the new law.
Right. Last year, where
constitutional carry was allowed. So now not only can you carry concealed, you can carry open. But again, be responsible with it.
Rifle hanging from the rack in the back of my truck. Now legal again? Was always legal, wasn't it?
I don't know that a rifle has ever been illegal.
Yeah. If you're going hunting, that's allowed anyway.
Your finger on a trigger and it's pointed at another car.
Yeah, I don't know that was ever illegal to begin with. But, you know, people wonder. They certainly have that question.
Well, and people have been careful. You know, people take things into consideration on what other people are going to perceive. And you know, it's not worth the hassle. And so I think that's probably why they believe that was illegal.
It seems to me like I'm an advocate for open carry. I'm telling you I'm going to open carry. Mm-hmm. From your deputy's perspective, this does create challenges, though, because now all of a sudden, good guys and bad guys might be open carrying, right? And before, unless it was an incident, good guys couldn't see a weapon.
So historically, from a law enforcement perspective, let me put yourself in our shoes.
Yeah.
So when I spent a lot of my time, as you know, in plainclothes capacity, whether undercover or just as a plainclothes police officer, and we spent a lot of time training because we were on like a robbery task force at one point. So we were out in the field, out in the street, looking like a regular person. And what we would do is we would always be on the radio making sure that our dispatcher knew what we're wearing. Make sure that those responding deputies in uniform know that we're on the east side of the street. I'm wearing a white T-shirt and jeans, and, yeah, I'm a good guy with a gun. So it's always something that we had in the back of our mind. You have got to make sure that the cops who come, who have a job to do, know that you are a good guy with a gun.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward, and over the years, we've talked a lot about reasonableness and about what you can do to protect your own property. And we encourage people to let, when they call 911, to say, hey, I've got a gun, and I'm in this bedroom, and I hear some noise outside. And we give them that same courtesy and say, okay, our deputies are coming up to your door now, even if they're uniformed. So now it's a whole different ballgame. Now our deputies have to be conditioned that there may well be a lot of good guys with guns and not just bad guys with guns. So, you know, active shooters become more complicated. But again, on the other side is potentially you got people that can stop an active shooter quicker,
right?
Or even a deterrence where you don't even have an active shooter situation. So there's a balance there. But the bottom line is we are an open carry state. The ruling is the ruling. We're sworn to uphold the Constitution, and we certainly intend to do so.
And if you have any questions, you can always call the sheriff's office and ask. They've got a post on Facebook about this. It's, you know, somebody asked, can you put these rules out? And I'm like, well, we're trying to, but also that's...
We put them out as we get them.
Right.
Again, what we wanted was some clarity from the Attorney General's office so that each individual county...
Didn't have their own, right.
I have a little different perception than some of my South Florida sheriffs have, and just a little different than what Sheriff Johnson has. So it's just what we choose to... how we choose to interpret the rules and where we get the information from. So now we've got some guidance from the Attorney General's office, A, that says that this District Court of Appeals opinion is functions throughout the state of Florida and right. not just first the district, and then secondly that we're an open carry state fundamentally.
Chip Simmons, I know we only talked about one thing, but it's a pretty important one thing, pretty big difference since last week. Thank you for the time. Thanks for clarifying it, and thanks for keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Y'all take care.
Yeah, what did the guy look like? He's tall, short. He had straight curly hair, and I can't imagine how many people just lie to the cops all the time about everything and they're dealing with that. 6:54 here on News Radio. What's that?
5:54.
Whatever. 5:50. Now 5:55 at News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you need windows or, I don't know that anybody is like, I really want to get windows, but you think good for protecting you against, for example, high bills, air conditioning and heating, good for keeping the noise down, like maybe your neighbors are obnoxious and, better windows mean better sound insulation, right? Maybe for safety. Better windows are, more difficult to get into, and you want to protect your home better. There's all kinds of reasons people get windows. Insurance savings, I don't know, lots of reasons. New South Windows, a new advertiser on the show. They have a great deal going on. They're located on North Davis Highway, right in the 6235. But I know you won't remember that probably. But they're in the Hobby Lobby Books A Million Shopping Center, right in there. Can't miss them. Through this month and next until Halloween, 35% off American-made New South Windows. You can visit the showroom for a premium protection from hurricanes, intruders, and noise. And do bring your window and door measurements so you can talk with them about what exactly needs to be done. Photos are always helpful, so more information is always better than less. But stop by and talk to them and, see what they can do for you. NewSouthWindow.com. Again, 35% off American-made windows through Halloween of this year.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thanks, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve. Especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions. Because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone.
In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the county emergency operations centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I love some old young mind.
I like the way you work, kid.
No diggity.
I thought the bad
oh, oh.
I like the way you work, kid.
No diggity.
I like the way you work.
5:58 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David,
Just keep that music going.
Oh, you like the old Blackstreet?
I feel
Black
like I'm
Street?
Back at in like a high school dance.
There you go.
Yeah, it was awesome. All right, FBI Director Cash Patel. He's saying there's no proof Jeffrey Epstein trafficked women to anyone other than himself. This was from a contentious hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday. Patel saying authorities have released all of the information on Epstein that has been deemed incredible. Strong winds around Mount St. Helens kicked up ash, but the U.S. Geological Survey says the volcano is not erupting. Andrew, the ash was apparently left over from the deadly 1980 eruption. It's been lifted into the air as snow melted. The phenomenon is called ash resuspension. The volcano's alert level remains at a normal level for now.
Well, I always thought that volcano was going to get its ash kicked.
And here we go.
And
off to the
begins races.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.